It is part of our human nature to desire God, and it is part of God's nature to desire us.
We can never stop yearning for God until we are possessed by God in the fullness of life.
Amen.
all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well.
Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. Everything passes away except God.
If there is anywhere on earth a lover of God who is always kept safe, I know nothing of it, for it was not shown to me. But this was shown, that in falling and rising again, we are always kept in the same precious love.
Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. Everything passes away except God.
It is God's purpose that we be delighted, that we enjoy the gift of wholeness, that we be comforted and strengthened through grace.
We are God's happiness and delight, and God is our happiness and delight.
Again, Jesus began to preach beside the lake. But such a huge crowd gathered around that he got into a boat and sat there while the crowd remained on the shore. Jesus taught them many things in the form of parables, and in the course of his teaching said, "Listen carefully. Imagine a sower going out to sow, scattering the seed widely. Some of the seed fell on the edge of the path, and the birds came and ate it. Some seed fell on rocky ground where it found a little soil and sprang up immediately because the soil had little depth. But then when the sun came up and scorched it, it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell into thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it produced no crop. And some seed fell into rich soil and grew tall and strong, producing a crop 30, 60, even 100-fold. Jesus ended by saying, "If you have ears to hear, then listen." Now when Jesus was away from the crowd, the 12 and the others who formed the community asked what the parable meant. Jesus said, "The secret of the kingdom of God is given to you, but to those who are outside, it comes in parables, so that they may look and look again, but not perceive. They may listen and listen again, but not understand. Otherwise, they might be converted and be forgiven." Jesus continued, "Don't you understand this parable? Then how will you understand any of the parables? The sower is sowing the message. Those on the edge of the path, where the message is sown, are people who have no sooner heard it than Satan comes and carries away the message that was sown in them. Similarly, those who receive the seed on patches of rock are people who, when first they hear the message, immediately welcome it with joy. But they have no root in themselves. They do not last. When trials or persecutions rise because of my message, they immediately fall away. Then there are others who receive the seed in thorns. These have heard the message, but the worries of this world, the lure of riches, and all the other passions come in and choke the message, so it produces nothing. And there are those who have received the seed in rich soil. They hear the message and accept it, and they bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Jesus also said to the crowd, "Would you bring in a lamp and put it under a bushel basket, or hide it under the bed? Surely you'd put it on a lampstand. Things are hidden only to be brought out into the open. If you have ears to hear, then listen." In a world where following Christ is decreed to be a subversive and illegal activity, you have been accused of being a believer, arrested, and dragged before a court. You have been under clandestine surveillance for some time now, and so the prosecution has been able to build quite a case against you. They begin the trial by offering the judge dozens of photographs that show you attending church meetings, speaking at religious events, and participating in various prayer and worship services. After this, they present a selection of items that have been confiscated from your home, religious books that you own, worship CDs, and other Christian artifacts. Then they step up the pace by displaying many of the poems, pieces of prose, and journal entries that you had lovingly written concerning your faith. Finally, in closing, the prosecution offers your Bible to the judge. This is a well-worn book with scribbles, note drawings, and underlinings. Throughout, evidence, if it were needed, that you had read and reread this sacred text many times. Throughout the case, you have been sitting silently in fear and trembling. You know deep in your heart that with the large body of evidence that has been amassed by the prosecution, you face the possibility of a long imprisonment or even execution. At various times throughout the proceedings, you have lost all confidence and have been on the verge of standing up and denying Christ. But while this thought has plagued your mind throughout the trial, you resist temptation and remain focused. Once the prosecution has finished presenting their case, the judge proceeds to ask if you have anything to add. But you remain silent and resolute, terrified that if you open your mouth even for a moment, you might deny the charges made against you. Like Christ, you remain silent before your accusers. In response, you are led outside to wait as the judge ponders your case. The hours pass slowly as you sit under guard in the foyer waiting to be summoned back. Eventually, a young man in uniform appears leads you into the courtroom so that you may hear the verdict and receive word of your punishment. Once you have been seated in the dock, the judge, a harsh and unyielding man, enters the room, stands before you, looks deep into your eyes, and begins to speak. On the charges that have been brought forward, I find the accused not guilty. Not guilty. Your heart freezes. Then in a split second, the fear and terror that had moments before threatened to strip your resolve are swallowed up by confusion and rage. Despite the surroundings, you stand defiantly before the judge and demand that he give an account concerning why you are innocent of the charges in light of the evidence. What evidence? He replies in shock. What about the poems and the prose that I wrote? You reply. They simply show that you think of yourself as a poet, nothing more. But what about the services I spoke at, the times I wept in church, and the long sleepless nights of prayer? Evidence that you are a good speaker and actor, nothing more, replied the judge. It's obvious that you delude those around you, and perhaps at times you even delude yourself. But this foolishness is not enough to convict you in a court of law. But this is madness, you shout. It would seem that no evidence would convince you. Not so, replies the judge, as if informing you of a great, long-forgotten secret. The court is indifferent toward your Bible reading and church attendance. It has no concern for worship with words and a pen. Continue to develop your theology and use it to paint pictures of love. We have no interest in such armchair artists who spend their time creating images of a better world. We exist only for those who would lay down that brush and their life in a Christ-like endeavor to create a better world. So until you live as Christ and his followers did, until you challenge this system and become a thorn in our side, until you die to yourself and offer your body to the flames, until then, my friend, you are no enemy of ours.
Just a reminder that for the next hymn, we go directly from verse 1 to verse 2 without singing the refrain. Thank you.
compassionate God, so that our hearts might be changed, and we can be God's body in the world. Let us pray for all who serve the gospel to bring God's love to the world. Let us pray for all those who govern, so that they might do so with wisdom and compassion. Let us pray for the people of the Middle East, so that they might know freedom from oppression, and we might provide compassion to our Arab neighbors. Let us pray for our families, that they might know the love of God through our gentle witness. Let us pray for those in need of healing, that they might know wholeness. Let us pray for all those who have gone before us, trusting that we might all be reunited in God. Let us pray for ourselves, that we might know the presence of our God. In God, the source and ground of all goodness, we entrust our lives to Christ, who liberates us from want, and the Holy Spirit, who breathes in, with, and through us, now and forever. Amen.
Comes from you and rest in you.
has taught us, we pray.
Heavenly Mother, Heavenly Father, holy and blessed is your true name. We pray for your reign of peace to come. We pray that your good will be done. Let heaven and earth become one. Give us this day the bread we need. Give it to those who have none. Let forgiveness flow like a river between us, from each one to each one to each one. Lead us to holy innocence, beyond the evil of our days. Come swiftly, Mother, Father, come. For yours is the power, and the mercy, and the glory, forever your name is all one. Amen.
Christ, which surpasses all our understanding, be with you all.
And also with you.
We share God's peace with one another.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.